Hi, I'm Ben.
And I'm RJ.
Today we're going to be talking about a couple of topics that popped up on CSE1 Discuss this past week. SSDs.
Yeah, so a lot of students are talking about SSDs, in particular whether they're cost-effective, the trade-offs between getting an SSD or getting an HDD in your computer. Personally, I have a laptop with an SSD.
Why did you choose an SSD?
So I got a MacBook Air, and now all MacBook Airs come with effectively an SSD inside, flash storage. And I found that it's great because it makes my computer lighter. It seems to run faster. I've been told the battery's better. But really, personally, the reason I have one is I work at HUIT, Harvard University IT. And the most common thing we see is people coming in with computers with broken hard drives. Maybe they hit the wall with their computer, or maybe they threw it in their bag and things shook around. But once a hard drive has all these, an HDD has all these moving parts, and they're very, very prone to damage if you're constantly carrying your computer around.
And an SSD doesn't have that?
No, so an SSD doesn't have any moving parts, and so if you just throw it in your, you just throw a computer in your bag. Now, if you throw it too hard, you could break the rest of the computer, but the SSD itself is going to be fine. And realistically, it's expensive to replace your screen or your processor or your motherboard. But at the end of the day, most people, at least when they came to us, cared about their data. They cared about their photos. They cared about their music or their movies or their homework. Typically, music and movies. No, and very, very frequently, people came in with, "Oh, this is I have this assignment to turn in today, and my hard drive isn't working, and I can't access my files. Help! 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 Help!" So people really care about their data, and so keeping your sort of data safe is particularly important.
But doesn't having an SSD mean that you get to store less data? I mean, I have a MacBook Pro with a 500 gig hard drive, and you just don't see those kind of numbers on SSDs, except for a lot more money.
Yeah, no, so you're definitely right that HDDs cost less for more space. So here, an entry on Newegg for a Seagate hard drive. Newegg is just a website that sells a lot of computer parts. And they have a 500 gig HDD for about $100. And they have a 250 gig SSD for nearly $200. So the people that were posting on Discuss saying that articles they read mentioned that SSDs were more expensive and gave you less space is certainly true. You know, SSDs do cost more because the storage is just more expensive, and you do actually get less space. But I found that on my computer, I don't need that much space. I have enough space for my documents, and that anytime I want music or movies, I store that stuff on an external hard drive.
Now, once you store something on an external hard drive, do you lose the benefits of having an SSD, the increased speed, and et cetera?
Yeah, so typically what I do is if I have sort of music I want to listen to on my external hard drive, I'll plug it in, copy the music over, and then listen to it. And then when I'm done, delete it from my computer so that I'm not connected via the drive. If you're connected to an external hard drive, you're limited by the sort of speed of USB or whatever you're connecting it by, and USB typically is slower than the internal connections of being plugged directly into the motherboard.
Interesting. That sounds like too much work for me. Are there any other options?
Yes. Yeah, so Apple recently, in their new iMacs, have started including this thing called a hybrid drive, which is actually part flash storage, like an SSD, and also part HDD storage. And the idea there being that the real speed benefits of an SSD come from running your operating system or your programs off of the SSD, because those are the files that are going to be accessed very frequently. So if you wanted to play a movie off your hard drive can probably keep up with the movie. There's no need to get the speed benefits of an SSD there. What Apple does is with their hybrid drives, they let the operating system, and in this case, Mountain Lion, keep track of which files are used frequently or infrequently, and they put the frequently used files on the faster SSD component of the hybrid drive, and they put the less frequently used files on the slower, bigger HDD storage. And in that way, you get the speed advantages of an SSD with the storage advantages of an HDD. And since you're only paying for a small SSD, effectively, the hybrid drives don't cost as much as a full SSD would cost. So the advantages of this hybrid drive solution is that you can have a smaller portion devoted to flash storage and still have a large portion devoted to file storage on an HDD.
So if my computer has about 500 gigabytes of hard disk space, and your computer has about 100 or 200 gigs of this flash memory, about how much space of each types of space does the hard disk hybrid drive have?
Yeah, so again, the hybrid drive is the idea of having both, and I just looked it up. Apple's version of this hybrid drive is called a Fusion drive, and so they're releasing them in their new iMacs. And in their newest iMac, the hybrid drive comes with 128 gigabytes of flash storage, in addition to an entire terabyte, which is over 1,000 gigabytes, or 3 terabytes, which is over 3,000 gigabytes, of hard disk drive storage. So you can put the entire operating system and a lot of the commonly used programs and commonly accessed files in the flash component, and then still have 1 to 3 terabytes of storage for your music or your photos or your movies or other files.
How do I get the same kind of effect in my computer?
So you said you had a MacBook Pro?
Yes.
So then the nice thing about the old MacBook Pros before the Retina ones is that they're actually pretty modifiable. You can unscrew the back, open them up, and replace the components. So if you wanted to replace your HDD with an SSD, you could just open it up, take out the HDD, put in a new SSD, and then using some sort of cable, copy over your files and your operating system or reinstall your operating system on your new computer. That's one option. The nice thing about that is you now have your old hard disk, and you can sort of use it. So they sell these things called external hard drive enclosures for like less than $10 that effectively turn an existing hard drive into a external hard drive. And so you could replace the inside of your computer with an SSD and still use your old hard drive as external storage. Alternatively, and I have a couple of friends who have done this, your computer has an optical drive, a CD drive, right?
Yes.
So you can actually take out the optical drive and replace that with an SSD. So then your computer could have two hard drives inside of it, an SSD, which would be smaller and allow you to run your operating system, and a hard disk for storage. And if you wanted to, you could actually hook up both on the inside of your computer. Effectively, you would have to manually figure out where to save files. Like, you would see two drives in your computer, but you could run your own kind of hybrid drive by saving some files to the SSD, like the operating system and your programs, and saving your photos and music and movies to the hard disk itself.
Interesting.
Now you lose your optical drive. You lose the ability to play DVDs, for example. But you know my computer, this MacBook Air, doesn't have an optical drive, and I've sort of gotten along fine. So that's the trade-off you kind of make for space.
So are these hybrid solutions sort of the future of storage?
So it's unclear. There's a lot of pluses and minuses to them. There's lots of ways sort of the future could go. If you had to ask me, I adapted pretty quickly to having less space, and once I had less space, I was focused on using online storage, kind of like Dropbox or Box.com or Google Drive. Services like that allow you to sort of store your files remotely, and they don't have to live on your computer anymore. And once I was doing that, and once I started watching movies online, like watching movies on Netflix or Hulu or Amazon, I didn't need to have movie files anymore. And so I found that I could store a lot of my data off of my computer, which allowed me to need less space in my computer, so that my computer could have a small, a reasonable amount of flash storage, which was fast, as we read about, and performant. And then if I needed more space, I could just kind of rent it from other service providers.
But SSDs are just going to keep getting cheaper, less expensive, and have capabilities for more memory.
So I found that I store a lot of my data in other services. I watch my movies in Amazon, like I said, and I store a lot of my files sort of in the cloud, so to speak.
Sounds a lot like Google's new Chromebooks.
Yeah, so Chromebooks are kind of a cloud computer. You want to tell us more about Chromebooks?
Sure. Chromebooks all have SSDs, but of a much smaller amount than a typical laptop, about 16 gigabytes. However, their main draw is that they make it easy to store a lot of your everything you need online in the cloud. They even come with 100 gigabytes of free Google Drive space. So Google's trying to make you move towards their online solution, although you could use something like Dropbox.
So, I found that as I've been using these online services more and more to sort of host my files, like my music or my movies, that I actually need less space on my computer now.
Sounds like the Google Chromebook. Have you heard about these?
Yeah, so a bunch of people on Discuss were posting about these and how they're, and whether they were sort of good or bad. But can you tell us more about them?
Well, it seems like it's exactly what you're talking about. There's less local storage, only about 16 gigabytes in the computer itself. And really, you rely on the cloud. You rely on Netflix or something similar to watch your movies. You rely on an external host for your music. Or you rely on something like Google Drive, which you get 100 gigabytes of free space for, to host your documents.
Yeah, so that definitely sounds a lot like the way I use my MacBook Air. And I think the, a couple people were saying the advantages are, so they're much less expensive. So my MacBook Air was, you know, maybe, you know, $1,000. And it can run things like Photoshop, whereas a Chromebook is much cheaper, starting around $200, but it can't run things like Photoshop necessarily. It's focused on running sort of a browser. It can run Google Chrome, and anything you can do in a browser, you can do in a Chromebook, but anything else, you're kind of at a loss, and you need sort of another computer if you want to do that.
They do have more limited capabilities, but I saw online, and I think someone pointed out on Discuss, that their processing speeds and the amount of RAM aren't even listed online. Does that mean they don't have RAM?
So, no, the computers definitely have RAM and a processor, but my guess is that Google is sort of downplaying the importance of specs, because anything you run, you know, if you run a program like a photo editing program, most of the processing for that program is going to happen on a remote server somewhere. Because when you're online, you're connecting to someone else's server. So your computer itself doesn't have to run programs as much as interact with another server that's running these programs. And so by not listing the specs, they're kind of saying, you'll have enough to do what you need. And don't worry about them. Now, whether that's true or not, you have to read the reviews. There are four or five different models, and so the reviews might say that, well, the Samsung Chromebook happens to perform well or not well, or the Acer Chromebook did well playing video, but just didn't seem to keep up doing this or that. So definitely, like any computer, each Chromebook is going to have its own kind of pluses and minuses, and some will have a long battery life, and some will have a nice keyboard, and they're all going to be sort of individual computers. And the amount of RAM certainly matters to an extent, but I think the number would be smaller than you'd expect, and that's why they're not publishing it.
I see. And if the Chromebooks get up to be about $450, $500, it seems like that might not be worth it for something with more limited capabilities that can't do everything that you want to do on your computer.
Yeah, so I saw that on Discuss. A couple of people were mentioning that it didn't seem that the higher, more expensive ones were worth it. Personally, I tend to agree with them. If I'm going to go out and spend $450 on a or $500 on a device, or a laptop, then I kind of want it to be like a fully featured, like I could get a $500 PC that runs Windows 8 and does all those things for definitely that price. But then I thought about it a little bit more, and I realized that, well, if I wanted to buy an iPad, that's $500, and that's certainly a different type of device. So it's a matter of figuring out what the Chromebook would be for you, whether it would be your main computer, in which case you're probably better off spending $500 on a fully functioning, fully featured PC. But if it's going to be an auxiliary device that you use to browse the internet, or it's the lightweight device you carry with you, but you leave your big computer at home, then maybe it's a nice alternative to an iPad or Android tablet or something. So,
but could you pull up the Samsung Chromebook 550? I feel like that's almost, this is the $450 model, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
And it's the only one that lists the processor and information about the RAM. It seems like this is sort of trying to bridge that gap between sort of the traditional $200 Chromebook and then something that maybe can do the Photoshop and the movie editing that might take a little more speed. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I imagine there's going to be many different types. The same way there are many different types of computers out there, and there are people that need to buy the computer with 8 gigs of RAM or 16 gigs of RAM because they're photo editing or video editing, and there's someone that just needs a lightweight computer like a netbook. There will be different sort of tiers in the Chromebook space as well. So I might need a regular old Samsung Chromebook, but you might want the faster, more powerful Chromebook 550 because you're doing sort of more intense things. And as Chromebooks and other computers like Chromebooks get more popular, we may find that more intensive applications are being developed for them. So even now, you can run sort of Google Docs and do document editing not connected to the internet. And anything that the computer does not connected to the internet relies on its own sort of processor and RAM to run computations and do calculations and things. And so I can definitely see a market potentially for these more expensive ones, but personally I'd probably want to buy, I'd probably want to spend $500 on something, you know, less like this Chromebook and maybe more like an iPad or a tablet, or if I wanted a laptop, like a fully featured Windows 8 laptop or something. But definitely there's going to be a wide range. There'll be the less expensive ones, the more expensive ones. There's one made by Samsung, by HP, by Acer, all different companies. So in the same way there are lots of netbooks out there, lots of laptops, lots of desktops, there'll be lots of Chromebooks too.
Chromebooks do look really interesting, especially for those who might value portability a little bit more than the intense computing capabilities.
No, I definitely agree. It'd be really interesting to see where these go in the future. This was a lot of fun talking this week about things on Discuss. We saw a lot of interesting articles about SSDs and Chromebooks, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what students in future weeks bring up and what articles they find.
Do you have anything else you want to add?
No, I think we just about covered it.
And that's all I know about these topics. So I'm Ben.
I'm RJ. And this was This Week in Discuss.